Please pray with me. Dear Lord, as I preach this message, may these words not come from me. May this not be my message, but may it come from you. May it serve your purpose and give you glory. Pray this in your name. Amen. This is the second week of our three-week sermon series on tools for tough times. Really, it's the tools we use when we find that we are in a wilderness situation, or others around us find themselves in a wilderness situation. These are tools that we can use to help them, to come alongside them, and to get them through that time of wilderness. Patty talked last week about tools that we have at our disposal, but wilderness happens. Those wilderness types of experiences happen for a number of reasons in our lives. We don't plan for them. We don't want them to happen. They just happen. Often they happen because of things that we do, decisions that we make. Or maybe they happen because of something somebody else does, decisions that they make that impact us negatively. Or maybe it's just life. I mean, it's just stuff happens. We live in a chaotic world, and sometimes we find ourselves in a tough situation. But really, what is a wilderness experience? What does it mean to be in the wilderness? After all, we all have tough times, right? From time to time, you know, challenges don't go our way, or decisions we make don't turn out exactly like we want them, or maybe a relationship is a little bit strained, or maybe we're having trouble at work, or whatever it might be. What is a wilderness experience? After all, mountaintop experiences, we like those. Those can be great. And then the opposite of that is sort of down the valley, what we are calling wilderness experiences. But they're not necessarily correlate with challenges or difficulties. After all, sometimes when life really throws you a curveball and is really tough, and an illness or a tragedy strikes, that doesn't necessarily have to be a wilderness experience. Sometimes those can be mountaintop experiences. Depends on where our heart is and how we're relating to God during those times. On the flip side of that, sometimes, by all measures, life is really good. We might get a promotion at work. We might get a new job. We might have a financial blessing. We might be encouraged in something that would normally just make us happy or empty or lacking. Even though most might say, oh, that's a blessing, that's a mountaintop experience, we find ourselves in the wilderness, in the midst of that physical blessing or temporary blessing. Wilderness experience are the times in our life we look around and we're alone. We may have people all around us, but we are alone, or we're hopeless, or we're discouraged, or for whatever reason, we feel far from God. Or maybe we are in a place, we feel alone and far from God, we're at a vulnerable place, a dangerous place. That's the wilderness. The passage that we lifted up for the series comes from Ecclesiastes that Patty read for us last week. It's two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to the one who is alone and fails and does not have another to help. We all find ourselves in the wilderness from time to time. Can anybody describe, who in here has ever experienced a wilderness moment, you know, a tough time that you felt was hopeless? Anybody? Surely I'm not the only one. Every hand should go up, right? Every hand should go up, because life is full of mountaintops, but it's also full of valleys. And it's just kind of the way it is. But the blessing is that we're never alone in that. We may be going through the worst wilderness, valley, terrible time of our lives, and we may feel alone. We may not recognize or be aware of all the people around us who love us, but there are people. There's a church, a congregation, right, just right here, filled with brothers and sisters in Christ And what the church is the body of Christ. And one of the best things we do for each other is help each other, support each other, and encourage each other through tough times. Last week, Patty talked about a gift or a tool that we can use during difficult times or wilderness experiences, compassion. Compassion literally means to suffer with someone. And she talked about Jesus' experience of being, of demonstrating compassion when he healed Peter's mother-in-law. And two things that he did, that Jesus did, to a tool that he used to offer compassion and therefore help someone through a tough time. He was present. He showed up. He was there and available. And then also he expressed that love through physical touch. Compassion is just one tool that we have in our tool belt for difficult times. What we're going to talk about today is biblical direction. And the passage that I have comes from Matthew chapter 4. And this is Jesus' wilderness experience. Here's the word of God. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "You are the Son of God," he said. "Throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This was Jesus' wilderness experience. And we think, you know, when we think about God and Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, God's very own Son, God himself, we wonder, did Jesus really experience a wilderness moment in his life? Was he really tempted in this story? And the answer is yes. He may have been 100% God, Son of God, and the second person of the Trinity, but he was also 100% man. And because of that, he was hungry at the end of that 40 days. Has anybody ever fasted like that for 40 days? I never have. I know people who have. I have difficulty fasting for 24 hours. There are too many fast food restaurants on the sides of the roads for me to be able to fast effectively. But Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. This is the very beginning of his ministry. He was just baptized by John in the Jordan, and now he's preparing himself. God called him to go out in the wilderness and prepare yourself for ministry for three amazing, powerful years, and then to give the ultimate gift to humanity. But for 40 days and 40 nights, he went without food and spent that time in prayer. And I imagine that at the end of that 40 days, he was pretty hungry. I imagine that he probably lost 30 pounds, maybe. We don't know how big a guy Jesus was. But he probably lost, you know, a good bit of his body weight. He was probably fatigued. He was probably tired, weak at the end of that 40 days. And the devil said to himself, "If I'm ever going to get an opportunity to tempt Jesus, to get Jesus to turn his back on God, now's the time." So he goes. He says to Jesus, first he says, You can do anything. You are the Son of God. You got to be hungry. Turn these stones to bread and eat. And Jesus could have done it like that. In fact, he could have turned the stones into a five-course gourmet meal if he wanted to. But he didn't. Instead, he told the devil that man must live on more than bread. He answered the devil with scripture. But the devil didn't give up. The devil comes back at him, takes him to the top of the temple and says, throw yourself down, because if you are the Son of God, you can't be hurt. Angels will save you. That's what it says in Scripture. The devil quoted Scripture to Jesus. And then Jesus didn't miss a beat. He quotes Scripture right back again. He says, don't test God. And then again, the devil is not done. He takes him to a mountain and says, all this can be yours. Just bow down to me. And it didn't work. Jesus, quote, once again, lifted Scripture up. And he quotes Deuteronomy all three times in his response to the devil. And the devil has, and he says, go away. And he has no choice but to flee. And then angels come and tend to him and prepare him, restore him physically so he can actually get to work, saving souls and healing and teaching. But biblical direction, that's the tool. And Scripture is a powerful, powerful thing in our lives. What did Jesus need during this time? He needed all the things that we need during these similar times. And he had Scripture. He used Scripture as a compass when he was out there. Because when you're lost out in the wilderness, I don't know, any Boy Scouts or former military people, in basic training, or when you're in military, you get a lot of training about if you ever find yourself stuck away from your regiment, stuck out in the wilderness, you know how to survive, right? You know how to look at the stars and figure out which way to go, how to use a compass. The same is true spiritually when you're in the wilderness. When you're stuck in the wilderness spiritually, you don't know which way is which. You don't know which way is up. You don't know where to go. You don't know which direction to head. Scripture serves as that compass. In the same way, Scripture, when you're in the wilderness, it can be a pretty scary place. Anybody who was in the military and served in active duty knows that when you're out in sort of the wilderness, whether it's Vietnam or Afghanistan or wherever, it can be scary. But Scripture serves as courage. When we open it up and we read it and we internalize it, it gives us courage. And then it also serves as a shield. When someone is stuck in the wilderness, they are vulnerable. Vulnerable to attack. Vulnerable to dangers, wild animals, whatever it might be. Spiritually, people who are stuck in the wilderness are spiritually vulnerable. They're especially vulnerable to the attack of Satan, or suggestion, or temptation, or to buy into a lie. Scripture protects us from that when we use it and wield it effectively. And then nourishment. In the wilderness, there's no food, there's no 7-Elevens, there's no place to get a snack. People need nourishment. And spiritually, when you're in the wilderness, you get weak. You get discouraged, you get run down because you're not getting the right nourishment. Jesus said, man must live on more than bread. Scripture, the truth of God, fills us up and gives us what we need to move forward. But you know what? Even though we often find ourselves in the middle of the wilderness, even though we know people around us all the time who are in a wilderness or stuck or far from where we know God wants them to be. And we want to help, don't we? We want to help those people, our friends and family. We can't do it. We can't use the tool of Scripture unless we know Scripture. It's impossible. In order to be able to use the words of God, we must know the words of God. If someone in the office comes in and they've just experienced the death of their child who was killed in a car accident, and they come into the office and they get a call first thing in the morning, and we want to come alongside them, we want to offer compassion, and so we're there physically with our arm around them. But if we don't have anything else, if we don't know Scripture, what are we going to say to that person? We left our Bible at home. We don't have access to that. We can't pull it out and look for the right. We know there's something we can say that would be powerfully helpful for this person, but we don't know what it is. In order for Scripture to be effective, in order for Scripture to be a tool that we can wield to impact and defeat the devil and lift people up, we have to know it in our hearts and our minds. And the only way we can know it is to study it, to read Scripture, to gain the knowledge. It's a powerful weapon, but it's useless if we never get it off the shelf. And then understanding, we can't just study the Scriptures. We can't just read the Scripture, casual time. And there's a place for that. You know, at night, you know, you want to read a little bit of Scripture and you read a couple of chapters before you go to bed, and that's casual reading. There's a place for that. But to really understand it is where the power comes in. To dissect it, to get in a Bible study, to struggle with it, to meditate on it, to ask questions about it, to challenge what is God saying through this story of Jesus, or through this Old Testament story, or through this parable, or through this proverb. Unless we're studying, unless we're diving in, wrestling with it, understanding what is it that this is saying, not just to the people whom it was written 2,000, 3,000 years ago, but what does it mean for us today? Unless we have understanding, then we don't have the ability to use it effectively. And then also readiness. It's not a matter of knowing the Scripture and understanding the Scripture, but we have to be ready to use it whenever we're called upon. We have to be ready to jump in to the fight and be present with someone and wrap our arms around that person, but then have the right things to say and be ready to say it. There's a time in our church history where Scripture reading, Scripture memorization was mandatory. And we've gotten away from that practice, unfortunately. You know, the excuse we have is, I've got the Bible right here. I don't need to memorize it. I've got it right in my pocket all the time. I've got like 4 Bibles in my pocket right now. So we don't memorize it, but are we really ready to use it? And it's not just a matter of having the words or memorizing the Scripture or being able to quote chapter and verse. That's not what we need. What we need is to have it in here and in here, and to understand it in such a way, and to understand the larger story of what God is doing. After all, Scripture, the Bible, is simply God's story of His love for us. But are we ready to offer a word of encouragement from the Bible? If someone called up right now and you had to step out and take a phone call from a loved one who desperately needed some help, do you have the tools to say it, to say what needs to be said? Can you be a voice for God? Can you be a representative of God's truth and God's love at any given moment? Whether it's a spouse or a child or a parent or a family member or a neighbor or a stranger on the street, do we have the tools ready to go? We have Scripture so deep in here that no matter what happens, we know God's going to take care of it. Is our quiver full of the right arrows? Scripture is such a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. It is a tool that God has given us to shape and be a voice and shine the light of Christ wherever we go. Here's words, this isn't on the slides, but words from Paul. And Paul writes this at the end of the letter he writes to the Ephesians in chapter 6. This is what Paul says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul's saying, we've got scripture, we've got the tools, we've got the armor that we need to be successful. But we have to use it. That Bible doesn't do any good stuck on a shelf or stuck on our phone. We have everything we need to preach truth, to speak truth. And when we do that, when we wield that powerful weapon effectively, lives are changed and the world's changed. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the gift of the Bible, of Scripture. It truly is a love story that you have for us. May we sharpen our skills. May we commit to reading and studying and growing. May you lead each one of us to a Bible study where we can grow and be equipped. And may you give us a heart. May you give us courage. May you give us boldness to use it in ways that glorify you. Pray this in your name. Amen.